Porta FM. The beautiful voice of Whitney Houston there, Step by Step. And Justin doing the flawless tonight. I mean the news tonight. And before that, we have the Big G, Big Daddy G, Malik G, signing off. One day when I grow up, I want to have so much energy like Malik had. He is the man here at Poort FM. What an exciting evening it is today. You know what we always say on the show. We are here to inform our listeners and we are here to educate. We are not here to fight. We are here to inform, to educate. This was a special song that I played for our guest tonight, Ellis Lavember, and Whitney Houston, Step by Step. Ellis, welkom hier bij Poort FM.
Eerstens, Pabla, Justin, dankie vir die uitnodiging. Dit is 'n voorreg om met 'n homeboy te praat. Ek weet ons was al lank al bietjie oor besigheid gepraat het. Ek het bly gedeny en nou accept it. So all Poort FM listeners, thank you for tuning in to the talk tonight and we hope to have a wonderful evening. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, Ellis, tell us why you like that song of Whitney Houston.
Papla, you know, business is not pop in place. Starting your own business is hard work. It's a lot of dedication. And, you know, that is my jam. The other night on Facebook, I asked people to tell me what's my jam. I said, apricot and strawberries. So my jam is Step by Step by Whitney Houston. You know, she stated clearly, you know, it is storm by storm. And when you start your own business, you know, you must be willing to lose everything that you have more than once. And that is that is what I know of being an entrepreneur. You must be willing to get your car, your house, your cat and your dog repossessed. And then you go back into another storm up until the storm clears. And eventually it's a very positive song, but it states you build brick by brick. There is no shortcut. In business, shortcut is the worst cut.
Okay. There's a lot of questions that I wrote down just from what your intro here, but we'll get later to that. Let's start at the beginning. Who is Ellis?
Well, ek is van Paraflea. Ek is trots van Paraflea. You know, I grew up in Estres, finished my school, primary and secondary at Jacaranda and the Yellow School. Ek is trots op my gemeenskap. My Estres bloed loop diep in my hare in. However, from a very young age, I was always on the wrong side of the fence. I saw things differently. I finished a theological diploma. Yeah. And started working at APSA, gained some financial background. But wherever I went, I saw injustice. I saw inequality. And it's stuff that I opposed vehemently as Ellis Lavember. And to realize that I was actually a change agent, I just want to change things that's not right. So I decided, you know, why climbing the corporate ladder if I can own the corporate ladder? So my first business that I've registered was Spectrum Finance, Pty Limited. It was registered with the Financial Services Board. And I didn't sell insurance. People sold insurance under my company. I liked the idea of changing that. I wasn't going to work for a brokerage. I wanted to own my own brokerage. And that is who I am. I went to Virgin Active and I gym and I saw, but you know, my people need access. They can't afford a gym. So we started one of the biggest outdoor gyms in South Africa, giving people free access to fitness with a program that works. So yeah, I think the rest of it we will uncover as we go through the interview. But in short, Justin and Papla, Ellis is just a change agent. That's who I am.
What I'm hearing from your background and who you are, like going from finance to opening a gym, that's definitely change that you're bringing, because it's so diverse, the two one wouldn't have thought, you know, just creating that from finance. So how do you go from you know, starting a financial company and then saying, nope, but I see there needs to be change? Like, how do you commit to such a big, because it's not within what you know on your background, and you're like, no, but I'm going to step into this because I want to make a change.
Well, that, you know, it's, again, as I say, some people spot, you know, they are prospectors, they look for gold, they know how the fields look. I don't know how a gold field looks, but I know how an opportunity looks. I know for a fact.
Yeah.
So, and because I'm wired to change and allow, create an opportunity to normalize access, that is all I'm about, normalizing access. Understanding financial sector, understanding the fitness sector. Well, but that's not what I'm doing now. I'm in agriculture.
Wow.
Don't have any degree or diploma in agriculture, but we're having a leading organization. Again, we will talk about that later on.
Yeah.
What I want to say is my mentor, I do have a business mentor, and he asked me not to mention his name.
All right.
He asked me a question once, and he said, who's the fastest runner in the world? And I said, you know, Usain Bolt.
Bolt, yeah.
Because of a 100 meter sprinter. And he asked me who's the second fastest, and I couldn't answer him. And I realized second place doesn't count. If you want to do something, you know, make the best of it. You know, don't separate yourself, but just being outstanding. And that's what a change agent is all about.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, that was in short the intro of Alice. I know people want to know a lot. They want to know your kids and stuff like that, Alice.
They're calling while we're on air.
Okay. Yeah. A little bit of my kids. Guys, in 2012, I had a tragedy. My wife died due to throat cancer. We were married 14 years. My son landed up in hospital. He was in hospital for 8 months. I had a company to run, but I also had my daughter, who just turned 12 at that stage. Her name is Sherazade. She was just 11 years old when she was a consultant for Deloitte's Consulting, where she spoke about the future of work. What I know today came from my daughter's research and development in the future of work, where people were going to work from home. Everything was going to be like now in COVID. She had to do that research and spoke to the country's top CEOs from Eskom, EPSA. And so that's my daughter. She's a speaker like me, a change agent like me. My son is just recovered. He's healthy. He's perfectly well. Oh, I don't know what is he going to be.
Yeah.
But I have two kids. Obviously, that's my two biological kids.
Yeah.
Okay, Alice. Our topic tonight is entrepreneurship. You know, we're going to take it slow. We're going to take it like, you know, like they say, explain it to a four-year-old.
Yes.
Because a lot of us like the concept. We like what we see.
Yes.
We like to see this guy is going forward. He's making big bucks. We like what he's owning, his house, his cars. We like what he's doing. He's going on holidays overseas. But sometimes we are too afraid to take that plunge that guy took. So if you should advise a young man, let's say he has a 16 to 18 year old class, and you want to start with them to tell them about entrepreneurship.
Okay. Well, entrepreneurship has nothing to do with money, wealth, and riches. An entrepreneur is also a change agent. An entrepreneur is somebody that develops solutions. They go out, they look for something, they can't find it, they go back and they create that. They create it so well that people are willing to pay for that service. An entrepreneur is somebody that operates almost like an architect. You know, and I want to make an example, Pabla. I normally ask people, how do you build a house?
Mm.
You know, I could ask the listeners just for a quick couple of seconds, let your mind run. When I ask them how to build a house, the answers I get is, you first start with the foundation.
Mm.
Then they will tell me, you know, you get buy the bricks and you get all the mortar and all that in place. But, you know, the reality is how you build a house is by your dream first. Mm. You first see your house somewhere in the Western Cape on the beach. Mm. It is a double story with six cars parking at the bottom and you walking distance from the beach.
Yeah.
That is what, that's how you build a house.
Mm.
And entrepreneurship is nothing less than that. Before you go into that field, you think about the life that you want to live.
Mm-hmm.
You see who connects to that life that you want to live.
Yeah.
And then you build your dream.
Mm.
The first thing that they teach you in entrepreneurship is that, you know, a goal, a vision mm-hmm. of a dream written down becomes a goal with a deadline. So with an entrepreneur, you can't do it on your own. Because you want to build your house, you need to speak to somebody. You need a mentor.
Yeah.
So then you sit down with your architect and you tell him, I want to build this house. And then you tell him, okay. Then he's a professional. Then he drafts the plan for you.
Mm.
He then will tell you how much it will cost for you to build that house. And then you go ahead and you start preparing to work there. So entrepreneurship is not starting with this great idea and then you need, first and foremost, you need a plan and you need a specialist in that area where you want to go into to speak to that person. And that is where mentorship and coaching becomes paramount for entrepreneurship. If you think that you're going to do it on your own, you're going to fail over and over. You need a mentor. And that is for the youngsters out there. So if you have this massive dream, you must be able to write it down. Once it's written down, I can guarantee you it becomes a goal with a deadline. But you need to take that dream to a specialist and say, this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And can you help me build my dream? That person is not going to give you money.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's an architect. He's going to charge you, maybe. Or maybe do it for free. I will do it for free for a lot of people. Then you sit down and you tell the person, what exactly will it take for him to get that dream? And from there, the person can decide whether he's willing to pay the price, because entrepreneurship comes with a price tag. Firstly, you are going to lose everything that you have. There's not one entrepreneur that I know that has never lost everything more than once.
Alice. We need to mentor bank for that.
No, that's a reality.
Is that the absolute must?
You know, successful entrepreneurs, all of them, our mentors, they have lost everything they have. I don't know why it is like that, but the moment you start losing things, we know you're on the right track. It's not easy. It's not something that's going to fall into your lap. I can be honest with you on that one. Thanks.
So you say it starts with a dream, mm-hmm. and then it starts with a plan, and then it starts with getting the right mentors.
Yes.
And how important is it having a mentor? Can we not just go to the library and read books?
Yeah, you can. There's a lot of mentors around. You get YouTube today. You can listen. This is what I do, guys. Every single morning, I'm up 2:30. Between 2 and 2:30, I'm up.
Mm.
My first half an hour, I watch. I just first pray, and after I pray, I will take my phone. Then I will start watching videos, motivational videos from people that have failed that made it. Those are my current mentors.
Mm.
So they will give you short snippets because success leaves clues.
Mm.
That's what success does. It leaves clues.
Mm.
So yes, people can go online. There's a lot of life coaches now. It's a big business for life coaches. Now I support the life coaches out there, like Michelle Mount. She's just recently got a degree and she's a life coach. She would be able to help people, you know, just helping them put their plans in place. But it's important to speak to somebody that you know. Why, Papla? Because they will help you to see the pitfalls and they will help, they will guide you not to make the same mistakes they have made. So instead of you going and learn for 20 years, you know, when you have a good mentor, you might maybe you know, take their 20 years of bad experience and reduce it to 5 years and make a success. So good mentors are people that will invest in other people. Mm. Yes.
Mm. Can I ask, how do you plow back? Do you consider mentorship applications, or is there anyone you're mentoring at the moment?
Yes, I wish the people that I'm mentoring are listening and maybe, you know, could say what they experienced with me being their mentor. I've been a mentor for many years. First thing every morning on Facebook, the first thing that people know, I write the motivation. I've done that for more than 10 years now.
Wow.
Consistently, Monday to Monday.
Yeah.
I do have people that I now employ that I've mentored.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys that I've mentored is now my technical manager. So he came and he wanted to work for me as an intern. And said he wanted to be like me. My second name is Robert. We're born on the same day.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of easy to see myself.
Yes.
but the greatest opportunity for me is to mentor my kids. That's the first thing. First and foremost, mentoring my kids. They will never have to work for a boss ever in their lives. That's my message to them. I have a lot of people in Estrus that I do mentor.
Yeah.
I used to adopt the schools, the matriculants.
Yeah.
I used to see them as they would allow me to speak to them.
Yeah.
The last time was with the late Miss Williams. I need to also honor her. Her class became one of the top performers.
Wow.
That's the type of mentorship that we do, yes.
Oh, that's great. That is awesome.
Okay. let's pay some bills. It is now 34 past 6 here on Port FM with me, Papla, and my co-host, Justin. We're in conversation with Alice Lavember, a serial entrepreneur. Alice, why did you like that song? It was John Legend with Wake Up Everybody.
You know, the most important thing, they say there are people that have eyesight. But to be an entrepreneur, you need insight. You need to understand that we, especially for people in Estrus, you know, for most people, we used to have this cliche that say Estrus stop for people at the robot, but no, don't see me a robot, you know, don't stop strata. So first and foremost is that solutions is supposed to be global solutions. If your concept or idea is not a global idea or concept or solve global solutions, it's not good enough to be a business.
Mm.
And that is why, you know, the song Wake Up Everybody. Look at whether we like it or not, we operate in a global village.
Yeah.
You know, I hear people in Estrus complain about foreigners having businesses here. Why don't you go to their countries and open up business there? You don't have the guts to do that.
Mm.
So they have guts to be here. So let us look at our challenges as opportunities. And I think that is why I like that song. You know, for me, I would not want to be too spiritual on that. Maybe one morning when we talk on a Sunday, I'll talk about church.
Okay.
But for now, let's say, you know, open up your eyes. Just wake up a little bit harder and wake up a little bit faster.
Mm.
That if you are doing what you are doing now for the last 10 to 20 years and you are still where you are or were 20 years ago, what are you going to do about that? You need to change that. And if you are not going to wake up and realize that you are actually, you know, if you work for a boss, you know, you work for somebody else's dream to come through. I don't say everybody is an entrepreneur, but if you can just wake up, all of us had that ability in us to change. To change the world the way they see the world. Don't be afraid to give your dreams an opportunity and make your dreams a reality. All of us had dreams to some extent when we were born.
Mm.
But those dreams are just gone. You will hear people say, I always wanted to do this. All I want you to is just wake up, maybe, to your own dreams.
Oh. All right.
Wow. Mm. Okay. I'm sorry, Alice. Alice? Mistakes, common mistakes that entrepreneurs always make, and what strengths, what do you think is the strength and weaknesses that the strengths that you should have and the weaknesses that we don't overcome easily as entrepreneurs?
Okay, I think that one of the biggest mistakes, and I don't want to have a varsity book discussion or entrepreneurial course discussion. I think let's take it to ground level. We talk about people that maybe have never started a business. You know, when I'm on big stages and when I talk in rural development and in communities, I ask people that there is one thing. There's only one way that a child, that you give birth to a child. You must have somebody. You must have intercourse. You have to wait for 9 months at least on average, you know. So, and after that, the child is born. And you know that you're going to take care of that baby for at least 6 years before the child goes to school. And then when a child is entering school, for the next 12 years, you have to still take care of a child up until they're about 18. And when they're 21, hopefully they are university level. So when people come to entrepreneurship and want to start business, the first mistake they do is that they don't recognize the basics of business. Business has basics. Life has basics. You want to run the comrades. You cannot put on your techies and go run 90 kilometers on that day. You will die. You will have to learn to run 2,000 kilometers only to do 90 kilometers in one day. And that is what people need to know about business. Number one is that the first mistake, it's not a quick fix. You're not going to start your business tomorrow and then end of the year, you're going to drive a big car, live in a double story. That's pipe dreams. It never happens like that, right? A real business, you first have to start from your plan. If you don't have somebody come to me and what's the mistakes? The first mistake, they ignore basic principles. The one basic principle of a business, you must have a vision. If a person does not have a vision, I will not even talk to you, because where are we going? What is your purpose, you know? So that's the first mistake. People ignore the basic business principles. Number one, Papla, you must have a vision. And you must have a mission. And you write that down. That's the basic principles. If you don't have a vision and you don't have a mission, the vision says, where is it, or what is it that I want to be, or where is it that I would like to go? The mission say, how will I get there? And the objective say, what will I do to get to my vision? And that's basically that. And somebody would ask me, you know, what is my vision? My vision is simple. I want to be the biggest beauty and personal care entrepreneur in the world.
Wow.
And why not the biggest? Why must I be second? Why must I leave the Americans to be first? So that's my vision. And my mission is to teach as many beauty and personal care entrepreneurs to become millionaires. And that's my mission. Because if I help them becoming what they are or want to become, I will become what I need to become. And that's why last year I developed 10 beauty and personal care entrepreneurs. So also the other mistake that entrepreneurs are also making, it's ek die groot gek. Business is not about you. Business is about other people. And if you cannot help other people up, you will never be able to become successful. I want to see anybody successful that doesn't help people. So the mistake that you make, it's like you're going to play golf. You know, that's business is not golf. It's soccer or it's rugby. It's a team sport. You need a lot of people. Number one, a golf player plays the whole game on his own. In soccer, you need the goalie, you need the back line, you need a whole team for you to be able to score one goal. So when you start a business, you have to have a network. Because you can't be the CEO, the salesperson, the marketing manager, the HR manager. So you need to be able to build. So firstly, you must have a vision. You must have a mission. You must have objectives. And then you have to put your business in a system. That's it. But what entrepreneurs are not doing, they want to earn all the money. They want to earn that 50,000 rand. They're not willing to employ somebody that's going to answer their calls. They're not willing to employ people to share that. And then, grow their business. So the first mistake that you make, it's not a one-man show. Strengths of an entrepreneur. You fall, you get up. That's what I've learned in the Rocky movies. My friends know that I like Rocky. Rocky Balboa the actor, Sylvester Stallone, got that from, I think it was Rocco, what the original?
Marciano.
Yeah, Rocky Marciano. Mm. Rocky Marciano, the real Italian stallion. The one thing about Rocky was they ask him, why would you always win? He says, I'm not always the strongest. I'm not always the fastest, but I'm always willing to get up for one more round. So the strength of an entrepreneur, you must be able to get up. You have to show up every single day. It doesn't matter as a hook, by hook or by crook. You have to, once you have your vision, you go for it. Mm. And that is the one strength an entrepreneur need to have. You don't have to be the smartest in the classroom, because the wealthiest guys today were not the smartest in the classroom. You don't have to be the biggest. You don't have to be the fastest.
Yeah.
All that you need to do is to, you know, you're going to get knocked down. Because if you want to become a boxer tonight, you know, you're going to gemoker word. The only thing that you need to know is that if you get up, you might win. That's a strength. There was another question you asked, Popla. I didn't get that one.
The weaknesses that's always there, but we somehow just cannot overcome.
There's one guy that said, if you work on your job, you will earn a living. But if you work on yourself, you will become wealthy. To be an entrepreneur, you have to work on yourself. First and foremost, you have to, there's a formula. The formula is entrepreneurial performance equals motivation, multiplied by business skills and entrepreneurial skills. Now, a lot of people don't think motivation is important. Self-motivation is one of the biggest downfalls for most entrepreneurs, because people will close the door on you before you find an open door. So there's something that we say, some will, some won't, so what? So you have to be motivated, strongly motivated, that you will be able to get to where you need to be. Then you have to have business skills. So weaknesses for our entrepreneurs is that some of them don't believe in business skills. Jy moet goed kan skryf in Engels. You have to write business language when you write for proposals. Some of the proposals that you get, you realize this WhatsApp language of mixed language. Just me, you maki laugh out loud, lol, as you goed te skryf nie. I just try to make it simple. You have to have business skills, and that you cannot be born with. Business skills you learn. You do short courses. You have to work on yourself. So learn. Go. That is why people need to go to school and to learn a little bit. You know, don't give up and quit. Quit the apple car om yonk and, you know. But also what I like about internet is that you can learn business language.
Mm.
Short courses. That's one. But it takes time. Then there's entrepreneurial skills. Entrepreneurial skills, I always believe that you were born with it. It's tenacity. As I fail hard, you just don't give up. You know, doesn't matter what people say. Your skin is so thick. Pablo would love if he knows what happened to me in 2018. I'm not going to discuss that. But you show up and you smile. Mm. People will look at you. You know, as an entrepreneurial skills is that you know you have guts. Jy, in Afrikaans and Islands Park het gesê, jy moet met jou eie hart loop. Jy kan nie met iemand anders hart loop. And that is one of the weaknesses is that entrepreneurs must not depend on somebody else for their success. They must take responsibility for who they want to become.
I just want to remind the listeners, do engage with us. Send us your questions to 064-119-6071. That's 064-119-6071. You can also post your questions on our Facebook page, Instagram, on Twitter. We are all over. So do engage with us. Send us your voice notes or your messages. And yeah, we're looking out for them.
It is 1:45, and we're going to play the balls and play a song again. Beautiful classic by the OJs. We in this together, we gotta work it out. Ellis, as entrepreneurs, how are we in this together, and how are we gonna work it out?
Yeah, Papa, you know, the OJs made a statement. They say, you know, people are messing up the water. Where will you get more water from? And I guess, you know, that is in this together, you know. we first need to understand as entrepreneurs that we part of the global village, as I said earlier on, we connect to people all around the world. We, when we say working things out, you know, we would like to see in a community like Yestra's, people talk about, you know, that ever evasive, you know, Yestra's local or township economy, where the rent will turn in here more than 7 or 10 times, you know, before it leaves the community. And as entrepreneurs, if we need to be able to work that out. If we destroy this community, we won't have another one coming after this for our kids.
Yeah.
Whatever opportunities that are here, if we can't see it. So for me, Popla, I think one of the dreams I have is to allow people to see opportunities in Yestra's. I can give you one opportunity that does not exist. And people will say, you know, why don't I have intellectual property on it? Number one is that when you are starting a business, your business must be what we call economically viable. And what does it mean to us as entrepreneurs is that your business must have an impact on the country's GDP and on the country's current account deficit. So that means that your business must have an opportunity to bring money, foreign currency in and export rents, right? Or services. So for us as entrepreneurs, that is the discussions that we need to have. How are you going to make your business economically viable? One of the other things is that it must create new jobs and new downstream economies.
Yeah.
So to make that, and I mean to make it practical, I worked on a, and I can help anybody, whoever is out there that want to take me up on this challenge. There is no concept, what we call it, mobile bed and mattress manufacturing around the world. Not one single mobile bed and mattress manufacturing. Now, do you know that it only cost about between 2,000 and 3,000 rand to make a what we call a queen size mattress that people sell for about 20 to 30,000 rand? The base cost is so little. There's one company that has the monopoly on the springs and the foam. Is a Jewish company. I think it's Stratfoam. They are situated in Roslyn. They are more than welcome for you to go there. You tell them you want to buy from them, and they show you the density. You will be a professional when you walk out of there. There is nobody in South Africa that has that. So well, let's work it out. And let me show you how you create a concept that sell, that will get funders, you know, light up. When they see you, when you sit down and you come in and you say, I have this opportunity that will create jobs, new jobs, downstream economies, par excellence all over South Africa. And then you tell them that I have this idea that I can have mobile bed manufacturers around the country. Any smart investor will say, but we have never heard of that. And if you can demonstrate that to them, they know that you are not churning jobs from other organizations or other industries. You're creating brand new jobs. And that is how you bring solutions. Solutions must be fresh. It must be global. And it must be uncontested. Let's work it out. And that's how I would say I would help. And that's what, when you discuss how you're going to change the world, it's not about, you know, and I maybe have this opportunity to say that, you know, not duplicating other businesses. I come, I'm a Tuk Tuk owner, and then suddenly there's 20 Tuk Tuk owners because we duplicate. We cannot innovate, and hence we start to duplicate. If we want to work this thing out, let's sit together and find loopholes, not loopholes, let's find gaps in our economy.
In the market.
And in our local economy in Yestra's. Let us, and you must be willing to give that to somebody. You know, not to your brother or to your sister or your cousin. You must give it to somebody new to fill that gap. That is what true entrepreneurship is about. Silicon Valley in America. How? You know, those guys, they are competitors, but they are together in San Francisco, in the same city, the same valley. They own the WWW World Wide Web. They own the platforms for search engines. They own literally everything, but it's different entrepreneurs. So wherever there's a gap, they'll help you to become successful because they fight against the rest of the world. So with us in Estrus, and I'm because we're local, I don't want to keep it local,
yeah.
to build this economy, how we're going to work this out is to find the gaps and help each other to fill those gaps.
Okay.
Wow.
Interesting.
Just some other news. The rand, Ellis, today is exactly 60 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. We changed from the pound to the rand in 1961. And 2 rand was equal to 1 pound.
Wow.
Let that sink in, eh?
Mm.
It is 6 o'clock and time for Justin.
7 o'clock.
Seven. Oh, my yes. word. It is 7 o'clock and time for Justin to do her thing.
It's time for the news on Proach FM.
State Capture Commission to ask for imprisonment of Zuma, and anyone entering SA still needs a COVID-19 clearance certificate, says Health Minister. Good evening, I'm Justin Kepler with a news update. Deputy Chief Justice and State Capture Commission Chair Raymond Zondo said the commission would approach the Constitutional Court to find former President Jacob Zuma guilty of contempt of court and would request a term of imprisonment for him. Zondo said if he allowed Zuma to defy the commission summons and the constitutional court order for him to appear, he would be setting a dangerous precedent. Zuma decided not to appear at the commission, saying he was waiting for a High Court application in which he challenged Zondo's refusal to recuse himself. Zondo said we should all be subjected to the same rules under the Constitution, and if action was not taken against him, there would be chaos because others may follow his example. Now, Zuma was meant to appear at the commission this morning in line with the summons and a notice that were issued after he walked out during his previous appearance without being excused last year. His notice not to appear came after the Constitutional Court ruled that he was compelled to appear, testify, and remain at the inquiry until he was excused. Now, Home Affairs Minister Aaron Motsoaledi maintains that people crossing the border into South Africa must have COVID-19 clearance certificates. Motsoaledi is visiting the Limbombo border post as the country reopened 20 land borders today. Cabinet decided to reopen travel to neighboring countries after borders were closed last month in an effort to control the spread of coronavirus. Now, Motsoaledi has dispatched senior staff officials to the busiest ports of entry to monitor the implementation of the border control plan. He said the management of people through borders remained an important part of a strategy to control the spread of COVID-19. Now, in other news, President Emmerson Mnangagwa said Zimbabwe would start vaccinating its citizens against COVID-19 this week following the arrival of a first consignment of jabs from China. Frontline health workers will be among the first to receive doses of the Sinopharm vaccine, which arrived earlier this morning. In a tweet, he said the sooner the country could start vaccinating its people, the faster the economy could flourish. His tweet comes just hours after an Air Zimbabwean Boeing 767 landed in Harare after an overnight flight from Beijing carrying 200,000 doses of the Sinopharm vaccine. This was a donation to Zimbabwe, and Chinese ambassador to Harare Hao Shu Chun said it was because China considered Zimbabwe to be a brother. Finance Minister Ntuli Ncube told reporters at the airport that Zimbabwe would buy another 1.8 million vaccine doses from China in the coming months. These will cover some, but are by no means all the jabs needed to try and reach the herd immunity for its 15 million people. Now, in your sports news, Rafael Nadal put his old rival, Fabio Fognini, to the sword to reach the Australian Open quarterfinals and move within 3 wins of his old all-time Grand Slam titles record today. The Spanish great was one for one with the flamboyant Italian in Grand Slams, but he was never seriously troubled in his 6-3, 6-4, 6-2 win. Nadal is now into his 43rd Grand Slam quarterfinals, staying on course for a title match win with 8-time winner Novak Djokovic, who battled through an abdominal injury to reach the last 8 on Sunday. The Melbourne tournament remained fan-free for a third day today during a 5-day lockdown in Victoria State to curb a coronavirus outbreak. And finally, in your markets, the rand was last trading stronger at 14.45 to the dollar, 17.54 to the euro, 20.11 to the pound, and 1.32 to Botswana's pula. In commodities, gold was last trading at $1,820 per fine ounce, platinum at $1,303 per ounce, and Brent crude oil trading at $63.33 per barrel. The top story on Port FM News at this hour: State Capture Commission to ask for imprisonment of Zuma. I'm Justin Kepler for Port FM News. For more updates, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or make sure to download the Port FM app on the Google Play Store.
And that was the news on Port FM.
My brother.
That was the Holies with "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." Is that the attitude, Ellis, that we as entrepreneurs should have towards each other?
As I said earlier on, being an entrepreneur is being a soccer player. You work in a team. If you cannot help other people, sometimes as a striker, you cannot make it to the goalpost. You have to just give the ball to somebody else. And you might lose the spotlight for a while, but it's okay as you win as a team.
Mm.
And I think as township entrepreneurs or local guys, sometimes you have to take one for the team. And you might not always win. So, we have to be our brother's keeper when it comes to entrepreneurship.
Mm.
Because in your darkest moments, all of us, any entrepreneur out there will tell you, the lights got cut, the cars got repossessed, their wives left them or their husbands left them.
Mm.
When the paycheck is so short and the month is so long, people tell you that you made a mistake, but you must have your brother or your sister to help you. People that understand, they will. I have a friend, I will not call his name. I cannot help him every month, but I will pour his car full of petrol once a month at least. Comes to my garage closer to where we are. I pour his car full of petrol, hoping that he will get another deal or will go to a meeting that he would get.
Mm.
And that money must not be returned. It's not a loan.
Mm.
It's paying it forward. And that is what you sometimes need. Sometimes you just need somebody, a friend that will give you another cell phone because Vodacom repossessed your phone or whatever. So that is what, for entrepreneurship, people know that if you do not have that network, you're not going to make it, Pablo.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So earlier before the break and before news, you mentioned something about the township economy. You mentioned, you gave an example of mobile mattresses. So I want to, and I'm sure the listeners too, just want to understand what you mean by township economy. How can we make, for our community here, make the rand work for us more than what it is now?
Great. When you build economies or when you talk economies, we hear value chain development. We talk from cradle to grave type of thing. So in other words, there is a pick a pay in Estrus, right? There is no need for other tuck shops. And I understand people allow people to come in. And we don't have a problem with that. But when I see that, I then realize that our community is not innovative enough to supply a service or offer a service. Because when you build an economy, economy is built on services. What do we need? I need like a speedy or proper exhaust fitment center.
Yeah.
In my community where when my exhaust break, I would take it there.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have your mechanics, which most of them are successful outside of the community.
Yeah.
But we need that. Then we need other services. Services like now we talk, and this is a multi-million rand opportunity for anybody out there.
Yeah.
When you look at a mobile bed manufacturing, you need maybe a 2 or 3 garages. You need a sewing machine from China because they are manufacturers. They have positioned themselves.
Yeah.
But when you have a mobile bed manufacturer in Estrus, he comes to you or she comes to you on a Saturday morning, take your mattress. They refurbish it for 1,000 rand, right? The material will not cost them 1,000 rand. It will cost them less. They will refurbish it.
Mm.
And they will use your waste and recycle that. But you will create 3 or 4 new jobs in a community.
Yeah.
So we don't want that to duplicate. And now you find a lot of mobile bed manufacturers around Hanscoverdale.
Mm.
So then we look at downstream economies. Who's going to give us the springs, the foam, and the pellets that people throw away?
Yeah.
So somebody can make that your beds, most of the beds are made from waste pellets, right? So the base.
Yes.
So the base can be wrapped up by somebody. So that's when we sit down, we structure, and we create value chain community development. And that's how you build the economy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't worry about existing economies like your retail stores. That's existing. You can't compete against Truworths and Pick a Pay.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
What is there that we can then offer into a community? And maybe, that Estrus, where June last year, I came and I offered the couple of guys to get for me eucalyptus from Era.
Yeah.
Do you know that our eucalyptus are the only eucalyptus available in Gauteng?
Wow.
In Gauteng. And people are buying it at an affordable rate, 40 yeah. rand. I did not increase my price. However, I have two or three people in the community where I leave the eucalyptus. People are buying, and they take 20% commission from there.
Mm. Yeah.
And at least one boy was making about 400 to 500 rand a day. And he has no competition.
Yeah.
Because nobody else has it. Mm. So when you sit down and you build value chains, you look at what we call low-hanging fruits.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to transform that low-hanging fruits into viable, economically viable businesses?
Mm.
And that's the discussion that we as entrepreneurs and the community must have.
Yeah.
If somebody comes with a township concept and say, you know, for me, there, where's the what don't we have? Like something for the high-end people, a golf drive, right? People will pay for it if we have it because people are go out. So that means if you have a golf drive, people will come here. It's closer. Those are the type of development concepts that you need. You don't have to duplicate, right? The last thing, if I can, on that topic, when I was in Italy, the one thing that I've learned in Italy, when they say township development, they did not build triple stories. They did not build swimming pools and big buildings. When they say township development, they educate their children to run businesses.
Yeah.
They build NGOs, strong NGOs. In that area where I was in Reggio Emilia, the NGOs, 90% of the economy belongs to NGOs, the cleaners, the security guards. Where's the security guards in Estrus? Where's a proper cleaning NGO that we can employ at our companies? Just one. We don't want a lot. Just give us one NGO in every sector and build a value chain. You understand? That is how you build, because then we export services out of the community and import money and our community grow. That's how you build a township.
May I ask, does this only apply to, because what we see now in our economy, in our local township economy, is products, right?
Yes.
Do you think that moving forward, we should focus on creating services much more than products?
I think diversifying our basket would be great. People must want to come to Estrus because we have the best mutton curry, bunny chow, or whatever.
We like us the lemons.
Exactly.
Or pizza
We must have that. We must not take second fiddle to none.
Yeah.
Right. We have to give them the best. Our eucalyptus, and I owned it because I developed that concept and I shared it. But it's the best, and I want to tell you why is it the best. Because as we speak, we have done research. There is no eucalyptus like that in the world.
Like that meaning?
The one that we have here from Estrus. Yeah, there's a component that it has more than the other eucalyptus. Our component, we call it parasamine. It's a flavor and a fragrance. The other eucalyptus have eucalyptol more. We have a different component. It smells different. It works different. And those are the things that drives economic development. There are a lot of things, and I guess when you discuss that, what else? Not just services. I mean, a mix of services, a mix of products. Yes.
Okay. That was great information. So now we're moving to just the skills we require, right? What would you say? I would ask you to focus maybe on 3-4, if we may, skills that an entrepreneur should have or should acquire or want to have.
You know, let me make an example. I am a Comrades runner, and everybody can run the Comrades. That is what we know. But commitment is what's going to get you there. Starting small.
Yeah.
You have to start small. As an entrepreneur, you need to start small and you need to be persistent. You need to be committed.
Mm-hmm.
So when you run the Comrades, we teach you to run 1 kilometer a day. at least for a week or two. Then we increase that to 1.5 to 2 kilometers. Don't be in a hurry.
Mm.
You have to give baby steps, step by step, brick by brick, and that is where Whitney Houston comes in. It takes 5 years for your concept to become a stable concept.
Mm-hmm.
5 years. Let me explain to you. It took Nike 5 years to take over massive share in the footwear and sport industry from Adidas, but it took them 5 years. WhatsApp, before Facebook offered WhatsApp a buyout, WhatsApp was 5 years old. Most businesses, because that's when the business can walk. Nobody wants to buy somebody a baby 3 months old that you still need to clean nappies and stuff. When you are 5 years old, your business has been potty trained. It can walk and you can get something from it. It starts to give you stuff. It helps you. Then people want to buy it because they will then teach it to. So the next 10 years, 15 years, give your business 15 years. If you do not have the ability to think long-term as an entrepreneur, you need to have that skills to be a mountaintop person, looking from mountaintop to mountaintop. Don't worry about the valleys.
Yeah.
You need to stick with your baby. You need to make that baby 16 years old, mm-hmm. 21 years old, so that baby can have a degree and give you something back. Your business might not give you something back immediately. So right from the beginning, it took me 10 years to build the business that I have now. And now when I come into the market with my products, people think, this is a lucky guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not lucky. It took me 10 years to really build the business. And now it's giving back. Mm-hmm. So the skills that you need to have as an entrepreneur is
Consistency.
You have to be committed. One thing that you must have, attributes.
Yeah.
You have to be honest as an entrepreneur. Your ochen story and your aunt story moet dieselfde the wees.
Mm-hmm.
When you make commitments to people, you honor your commitments. That's important.
Yeah.
You have to have ethics. And you have to be not just honest, but super honest.
Yeah.
You have to take responsibility. If you did something wrong, you acknowledge and say, I'm sorry.
Mm.
I'll fix it. Entrepreneurship or business, the skill you have to, you need to know that you exchange your concept or your service for money. People have work for that money.
Yeah.
And the moment it is low quality, so if you are a liar, you don't have ethics, you bring inferior products or services to the market, it will catch up with you.
Mm.
Mm.
So to be skillful, you know, the Bible referred to as a wise master builder. Not just be a builder, not be wise, but be a wise master builder. You have to learn entrepreneurial skills that will make you the best of the best of who you are. And you can catch up with the people that have run like us. Maybe I'm going to go 7 comrades. You can run with me because I'm running with guys like my friends Mervyn Etting and those guys. I only started running in 2014. You know, they were already on 6 comrades marathons.
Okay.
But I've learned the skills from the trade.
Mm.
And now I can run with them, whether it's 90Ks or 120Ks. I'm fit enough to run with them. So give your business some time. Firstly, patience, commitment, honesty, and integrity. Those are not just the skills, but the attributes that you have. Then you must master your industry. You cannot be in a business. Like, I hate the fact when people are on, you know, they find it's Alice Levember and projects.
Mm.
I walk away from that because a double-minded person is unstable. If you want to go in a certain environment, let me call it agriculture. I'm in agriculture. You can't come in agriculture and then you're also in construction. We don't work with you. You cannot adulterate in business. If I could maybe put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have one business concept. Mm. Don't business is jealous. It's in law they call it a legal person. A company is a legal person. Don't have 20 companies where you're going to make money. You have to have that one business that you commit yourself to. You must not have a plan B in business.
Mm.
Plan A only. I will stay with you until death do us part. That's what you do in business.
Yeah.
If you don't have that skill to be honest and serve your concept and give your dreams enough time, don't start the business. I can tell you that. You will not make money in the first 5 to 10 years.
All right. So we have consistency, commitment, and be honest. honesty. So do you have a fourth?
Yeah, let's go to that one. When, as I said earlier on, you have to have also, that's entrepreneurial skills. You know, the entrepreneurial skills is attitude or attributes.
Yeah.
Commitment, persistence, maybe honesty. All those things are attributes that you must have. But you also must have business skills. So you must know your industry. So when you are operating within an industry, you need to know who are the people in that industry, not just in Estrus, but globally.
Yeah.
You need to know your role players. Mm. You need to know where you fit in the value chain, and then you need to try to get as much market share for your business. Because if your business doesn't have market share, people are not going to take you serious, right? So your business skills, that's desktop studies. You need to read and read and read as much as you can on your business, on your concept, or your industry. You must understand your industry. You need to know, like, you know, the soccer players, sorry for Liverpool, you know, everybody wonders what is going wrong there. But they are studying the other teams now. They know that they got it wrong. So they are back to the drawing board and they are studying. So when you get something wrong, the business skill that you need to have, you must love research and development.
Yeah.
You must be able to invest more money in your research and development and a lot in your marketing. So you need to learn that. And that you're not born with it. So you need to attend classes. You need to build your skill. You need to sharpen yourself. There's a lot of online courses that's free. You can go onto YouTube. The banks offer training courses for you to help you build your business skills. So you have to have great business skills.
Yeah.
And you have to have your entrepreneurial skills. And every entrepreneur out there will know those are the diehard skills that make you popular. That is what's going to make you or break you. When you find yourself alone, you know, on this road. Yeah, and 20 people walk that way, and you know that you need to take this road. Entrepreneurship is a lonely road. Mm. But eventually, you know, people look at you and say, oh, but he finally made it. Yeah, because there's more roads that lead to Rome than one.
Is it fine, Ellis, if you fail in one business, you start another one? If you fail there, you start another one. You fail there, you start another one.
Well, if you have a plan... sometimes there's something that we call, you know, some concept will be a means toward an end. So I always wanted to have an investment bank, but I don't have it. I've tried it. I failed. And who knows, when I have enough money, I will start my investment bank. So what we encourage people is to fail quickly. Don't be afraid to fail, because you're going to fail. So you go out there, out of the starting blocks, you fail. And you find out, but this is not for me. You know, you can go into the next lane, you have to start, and you have to fail, and you must be comfortable in failing. We are comfortable. When people tell me my product is not working, I'm not crying. I ask them, why is it not working? I go back to the drawing board, I make it work, and I bring it out there. So failing is something that you need to understand. It's part and parcel of the process. So when somebody tell you, I'm applying for a job by you because I failed more than 50 times in trying to start up a business, I'll take that person. Because that person know what it is to wake up in the morning and you know, go out there and give it one more try. So it's possible. I like that. You can try as many. It's part and parcel of the learning. Failing is not failing until you stop trying. Then it fails. But if you get up, I failed. I have a lot of failed businesses. I had the first Christian nightclub in Estrus. A few people might know that was Chicago, and after that I took over. I had a nightclub. I failed. It wasn't successful. I had a small business called Small Start Business Development. I did marketing. It wasn't successful. I now have a multi-million rand company that churned out. It's successful. Everything that we bring into the market now is a successful product or service. But it didn't happen overnight. It came from all my mistakes that I've made. You know, a mistake is an opportunity that you did not take. That's what a mistake is. Because when you do something, there's always an option to do it right or to do it fast. I failed there because I did not apply anything that was business principles or that I needed to have business principles. I just went out there and I bought stuff and I started. Now I sit down and I think. I have a strategy and I apply it. So failing is... You have to pay school fees, Baba.
Yes, a comment from one of our listeners. His name is Brandon. He says, thanks for hosting Ellis Sport FM. Die is ons heroes. Plus he's throwing jams. Ek sal die podcast moet kry. Dankie Brendan. Ja, is another vraag hier van 'n listener vra in terms of branding and sales. Can you elaborate please on those two concepts?
Okay, number one is sales. Normally people will say I am marketing a product. You know, when somebody say I'm marketing a product, it's a sign that they don't know what sales is about. Remember when you are going into a hospital, the first thing they do is take your temperature. Mm. And they put a thermometer in your mouth, realize what's coming out there, and they can say, okay, this person is sick. So when somebody say, you know, I market a product, marketing, sales is part of marketing. So I don't know what the listener really wants to know about sales, but sales is part of marketing. Before you can get to sales, you must have 5 P's. You must have a product. You must have a price. You must have a promotion. You must have a place mm-hmm. where you're going to sell it for. And you must have people. Before you can get to sales, you must have the 5 P's. So if you don't have the 5 P's, and that is for the listener, you can Google the principles of marketing.
Yeah.
And there's some courses on there. When it comes to branding, branding is your identity. Branding is not a logo. A logo is part of your brand.
Yeah.
People buy brand. They become loyal to brand. Yeah. Brand is who you are. Remember that there was something like this.
Toyota.
Exactly. You understand? So when you hear that, everything keep going right. Something like that. There was also Panasonic. They had what they called a quest to zero defect. Now, when you understand what that brand was telling you
yeah.
is that our quest was to give you something that will not fail.
Mm.
And what they have done, there was a YouTube thing where there was this thing on in a hospital room when they say, when you bring your child here, yeah. 9 out of 10 children die. Right? You will not take your wife there to give birth. But you go to Japan and they say 10 out of 10 children get born here. That's our quest. A quest to zero defect. So your brand must be able to say, to tell people what you want to tell them. That's your brand. It's not a logo. It's a combination of communication. It's a colors. It's a vibe that you create.
Yeah.
And I would like to engage this listener after the show and you know, just here, because your branding is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am the brand. When you see me, people know I'm COB. I'm essentially Africa. I stand in Istrat and pee in Istrat because I am the brand.
Yep.
When there's people fighting and arguing, I try to avoid it because I am the brand. My brand must never... the brand is not a logo.
Mm.
You as a person own the brand and you tell people the quality of your brand. If I help somebody that falls in the street, it's my brand that does that. If somebody is in need and I service that, it's my brand.
Mm.
So that a brand is more human than just a piece of paper and a logo.
Ellis, regarding the failing, you know, when you have a class of entrepreneurs and you tell them the issues of failing, I think it will skrik baie van hulle af. But do you agree that to a great extent that if you prepare well, if you read a lot, if you do your research just before you start your business, that a lot of mistakes can be avoided?
I cannot agree with you more on that one. I think right at the beginning, we say that you have to have a plan. Firstly, you have to have a dream as an entrepreneur. You have this dream. You're going to do something great. Then you write your dream down, but you don't know how to structure your dream because you have never done that. You have never built a house. You go to a specialist. That's why you need a mentor. When you sit down with a mentor, the mentor will know and he will tell you, you know what, this is great. This is how you're going to do this. And then he will help you structure your plan. I have a business plan. A business plan that I drafted in 2010 for a Estrus business concept that I had. I still read that business plan, not daily anymore. I used to read it daily. So you need to read that business plan. You need to have it. And it will help you to avoid the pitfalls. Obviously, there are new opportunities where you will fail. So don't be afraid when we say that it's failing. It's like I can lie to you and say, you know, when you take up karate lessons, alakha uniskopi, alakha nyoskop. Alakhanyu, you kind of a face of your, but it's part and parcel of the game. We have to tell you the truth. You they are going to cut your lights out. Then don't hang yourself, you know. You're not going to die. It's fine. You go back to the drawing board. So for youngsters out there that wants to start a business, we want to get rid of what we say. Fear is your best companion for becoming successful. We teach people, and you will know I make a lot of examples. So when you give somebody a gun, and you tell them to shoot, you know the fear they would have. I think if you have never shot a gun, I think your heart will tot and your water and klop. And that first time they shoot at the target, they will miss it, Babla. But you as the mentor will help them. You will show them, okay, this is what you need to do. This is how you hold. And then just pull the trigger, squeeze it. And eventually you would learn. And then you would find that failing was actually part and parcel of the process. Why people are afraid to start businesses is that we don't have hobbies anymore. I mean, our children don't ride bicycles. You know, some kids today, they are in matric and they never owned a single bike in his entire life. That boy never learned that falling was part of the riding. Our children doesn't go to swimming pools and learn that they cannot swim when they get there for the first time. They have to learn. So that's what makes us maybe pull at the short end of a stick, is that we are not exposed to the environment that teaches us that failing is part of the process. So when we as entrepreneurs come and tell people, you know, you're going to fail, you're going to fall, you know, the ones that doesn't have heart will run away. And it's good, because let them rather run away. Mm. But the ones that will say, I'm not afraid. Mm. I'm going to stand. And those are the ones that you normally take in.
Okay. Let's go higher and higher. Let's go local. And thank you. And good luck for your businesses. I can see you, your adverts being played on CNN and Sky News one of these days.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alice. Bye-bye.